And Brantley, I'm going to need you because I'm going to keep you awake, okay? And what I'm going to do is when the scripture gets on the board, on the screen there, I want you to be the one to read it out, okay? So stand up here with me, okay? You can have a seat over there, okay? And if you doze off, I'm going to get somebody to holler Brantley, okay? First, I want to say I don't usually call names out, but got a good friend here today. He probably don't want me to call him out, but Chris McLaughlin, he came here. We've been talking about, he's been wanting to come hear me preach for a while, so we just now got it to where we can hook it up. So, Chris, thanks for coming. Y'all give me a hand this morning. Let's bow our heads one more time, if you would. Father, for the next few moments, Lord, we're going to need your clarification. We need you for the next few minutes, Lord, to help the ears that are going to hear the sermon understand. And that's your Holy Spirit that can teach us and use us. So, Father, I ask you to help me bring my message forward that it will be crystal clear to at least one person that needs it, if not everybody, including myself. So, Father, I just ask you to help me with this sermon and be with us the next few moments that somebody's life will change today because of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, well, here's the way it goes right here. And I hope to wrap it up pretty quick. So if you just give me a few minutes. And don't miss nothing because it could be over with. But Friday night, I was they was getting ready, and we had bought some stuff to grill on the grill. And so I stepped outside, and I guess Brantley was with me. I threw the charcoal on the grill, was getting the fire ready, and then right before Brantley was fixing to get ready to leave, we walked back in to the garage. Out the back door and to the right is outside, two doors. So when we came back in from the outside, the backyard, into the garage, there was a bird in the garage. This is nothing new to nobody. Y'all have seen birds in the garage before, wherever, in your shop. But the garage was closed and the bird was flying around. So I opened up the garage. I said, okay, Pop, I'll just open up the garage, and it's going to fly right out. Okay? So, I opened up the garage, and I stood there. The door was wide open, and the bird was just going everywhere but outside. Okay? It was frantically going, I'm just making some noises, okay? I mean, hitting the walls. It was flying from here to there, landing on stuff. Now, mind you, that this is not a 2x2 hole, not a 4x4, but this garage, as you know, is a quarter of the whole room, a whole garage. Okay, so it's not like it's a little bitty small hole that the bird's got to find. It's a big old hole out there. All it's got to do was fly into and be free. Okay? But still, it flew back and forth, frantically. It was confused or hurt. I don't know what it was. It even got on top of the garage. You know, there's a little gap between the ceiling and the garage, so when it curved back up, it was just sitting up there, still looking around, still confused. So I thought to myself, I said, it doesn't recognize the door that's been opened. And it's running around frantically, confused, hurt, whatever, and the answer is sitting right in front of the bird. So I said, man, that sounds just about like us, doesn't it? Because we live in a frantic world. We live in a anxiety-driven world, in a pressure-packed world that people want more, and we're worried about this and we're worried about that. Has anybody ever wondered where the answer is and it was sitting right there in front of you? But you was running everywhere around the answer, and to come to find out, all you had to do was sit there, open your eyes, and there was the answer. That was kind of like that bird. Now, let me tell you a story. It was about 10, 12 years ago. Yeah, I'm sure it's happened more than once, but I was getting there. I remember us getting ready, and the kids were a little bit younger, of course. 12 years ago, they can't be the same age. But anyway, that was a little joke. But I remember we was getting ready. Of course, I'm never an hour early to anything. So I was running around trying to get ready, and I knew we was running out of time to get ready to leave. So I come running out. I remember sweating. Had to put my clothes on, and I'll come out. I said, man, where's that brush at? Where's the brush? I got to have my brush. Of course, that's something you don't have to have, Gene. I can say that to Gene. Y'all better not, though. And so I come running out. I said, has anybody seen my brush? She said, Michael's in your hand. Okay? What about phones? I tell you what, I've looked for my phone so mad, throwing stuff like this. Where's my phone? Hey man, has anybody seen my phone? Uh-oh. But then all of a sudden, I sit there. I say, okay, I'm just going to have to take my time and retrace my steps. It's in my hand. The answer was right there in front of me. Does anybody know where I'm going with this thing? Carlish. Man, I'm sorry I missed you, man. I got to mention one more person. Carlish Petty and Ronica Petty. I work with him at East Lowndes. Chris, you invited him. I think I heard you Friday. Y'all give him a hand this morning. Thank y'all for coming out. So, the answer was right there in my hand. Because I'm going to tell you, some of you right now are running around frantically in life, and you're worried about you. Your selfish self, worrying about you, and you might be wondering, what is the next step in life that God wants me to take? I've been looking for a door to walk through. How am I going to recognize what door to go through? When it opens, am I going to see it? Am I going to know it? Or am I going to be like the bird flying around the garage, hitting your face and confused and hurt and just don't know what to do, but the garage is there waiting for you to just to fly out? Let me give you the first scripture. Brantley, would you please read the board?
I know that...
Hope, wait a minute. Let me see. Loud and clear, like this. Make it clear.
I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door open which none can shut, that thou hast a little power and didst keep my word and didst not deny my name. Revelation 3.
Good job. I want to note this right here. It says right off, straight off the bat, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. First, I want to tell you, when God opens a door for you, nobody can shut it. When He directs you in a path and you walk through a place that God told you to walk through, there is nobody else in this world that can shut that door. I knew the works of that bird. The bird wasn't trying to hurt me. The bird wasn't trying to get me. The bird was just simply confused. You know, all I could do was open the garage for it. I couldn't go grab the bird and say, come on, bird. He probably would have pecked me, or I couldn't have got to him, or he would have outran me. So I knew the works of the bird, so I simply gave him a way out. That's the same way God is talking to you today. He knows your works, and He says, I have set before thee an open door. There is a door that's open right now for God waiting on you to walk through, But you are walking around and you're running around frantically with your selfish self, and you're thinking about you and you only, and there is a door that God has opened. He says, nobody can shut this door. All you got to do is walk through it. Is this talking to somebody this morning? I wasn't going to shut the door until the bird flew out. God's not going to close this door until you recognize it and walk through it. Now, I want to say this. When the bird finally recognized, that the door was open, simple. What happened? It flew out. Now, how did it recognize? Think about this. When that bird finally caught a hold of some trees out there and saw the big wide open space and saw the air and saw the gravel and saw all of that that it's used to, it knew it was time to go and get freedom. But it had to recognize it first. And when it did, it flew off to freedom. I'm talking to somebody today. Because you're looking for that door, and you're trying to say, you're looking at the door and you're saying, how do I know to go through this door? I'm looking for freedom. I'm looking for my next step in life that God's trying to show me. How can I recognize if that's the door that I should walk through? And I'm glad y'all asked me, because I'm fixing to tell you. Brantley, get ready for the next scripture. Matthew 7:7.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
The last line says, knock and the door will be opened. How will you recognize? If you pray for something and you see it unfold in your life, this is the confidence that we have. Has anybody ever prayed for something and you saw it happen? Think about this for a second. If you've been praying for a door to open, and the Lord opens a door for you and you recognize it, who else could it be? Man can't do it for you. A job can't do it for you. Money can't do it for you. Things can't do it for you. Material stuff can't do it for you. But when you pray for something in private and you see it in open, then that's God talking to you. That's your confirmation right there. Knock and the door will be open. But you know what? We're just like the bird. We're constantly flying around in this thing we call life. And we're running around. We're so full of anxiety, and we're so full of ourselves. We're so full of junk that we can't just sit still and listen to that small, still voice. It's like you don't want to hear. I've argued with people, and I'm sitting there telling them the answer, and they're still not listening to me. Nobody else has ever done that. You're giving them the answer, but they're still slapping you in the face and trying to tell you how we can get the answer. And the answer they're giving is wrong. But until we stop flying around like the bird and recognize the door, we're not going to find freedom. Because some of us are cooped up right now. Some of us are in chains. Some of us are lost. Some of us are confused. Some of us have questions that you need answered. Some of you are wanting to know the next step in life, and God's trying to open a door for you, but you're not recognizing it. When He simply says, all you got to do is knock and the door shall be opened. Let's go to one more scripture here. Mark 11:24. What does it say, Brantley?
Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
How do we know that if we pray for something? Because the Bible just told us. Whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Is that elementary, or is that, what is that? Let me ask you a question right now. And it should come right to your head. Don't say it out loud. Just think. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? What is it that you want to know? Is there a destination that you're wondering about? Is there another level that you're thinking about? Is there something that you've asked God for and you're still waiting on the answer? The Bible tells us, whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that it's yours and you can have it. So it's not a fairy tale. Just like the bird when it recognized the door. When you pray for something and it unfolds in your life and you see God do it, then you know that's where you're supposed to go. Man, I hope this is sinking in. 1 John 5:14-15. He was almost asleep, wasn't he?
And this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 5:15.
It's another one.
Oh. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him.
Now let me say this. Say, Michael, how will I know if it's the wrong door? That's even a better question, isn't it? If I'm looking for a door to walk through, the better question is, how do I know when it's not the door? Well, it's like this. If it's not what we prayed about, or if it's contradictory to the Word of God and not his will, then it's wrong. Can I give you an example? I think I will. If I'm going to use anybody. Carlish? Good one, ain't it? If you're praying for about your marriage, can we use that?
Sure.
Veronica, don't jump up and slap me now. If you was praying about your marriage, I can tell you God won't send you another woman. Then you know that's the wrong door. But why? Because you're supposed to stay married to her. That's the one God sent you. So if you're praying about your marriage and then another woman walks up, you don't say, whoa, God gave me my answer. Are y'all with me? Why? Because that's contradictory to the Word of God. Man, this house should have just jumped up, shouted, ran down the road, came back, because that was an amen moment right there. If it's contradictory to the Word of God, then you know it's the wrong door. If it's not what the Word is telling us, it's the wrong door. But when you recognize what you've prayed about and the things that you've been seeking God for and the door that you've been knocking and the Lord opens the door right before your face and he lets that garage door open, he says, my son, my daughter, fly freely. And you see the other side is what you've been praying for, then you need to walk through that door and walk in the will of God and see your life change and see others' lives changed. Because when you experience God, and I don't mean come say a prayer and go to a church and say you're saved, but when you really get deep down and experience the Holy Spirit working in your life, when you talk to God about things in your private life, and you see it over other people, and you see God lay things out step by step, the steps of a righteous man in order, and you see things come and go the way God intended, then you're going to experience a life change. But I will say right here, I will go off the deep end and say, some of you, this morning, you've just had a taste of God. You haven't had a real experience. And it's time for you to get a real experience of God and walk freely every day. Every day that you get up, you feel confident and you feel diligent and you feel like, man, it doesn't matter what comes against me, no matter who comes against me, I got the truth, I know God, and He's going to walk me right through it. But we spend our lives every day running around frantically like that bird, looking for the answer, and the answer's right in front of us, but we won't take it. It's just one step away. You know, it feels good to see that bird. When that bird would just boom, boom. And you know, it took about 10 minutes. I liked the whole process of watching it. I knew what was unfolding in my life. I knew that was my sermon. So I had to watch it to see if something else happened. So I was watching that bird, boom, 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 land, boom, 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 land. And finally that bird just kind of flew over to the opposite end, kind of in midair, looked, and he saw it. As soon as he saw it, gone. Imagine the freedom that bird felt. Being trapped up like that. Ain't no telling how long it was trapped. I guess a day for sure. And then finally got his answer and he flew away to freedom. Now, think about you for a second. You know how it feels to be trapped right here on the inside. You know how it feels to be mentally trapped on the inside and it looks like nobody cares for you. It looks like nobody has the answer. It looks like everywhere you turn, somebody's out to get you. It's just a world full of anger, bitterness, shame, defeat, and everybody's just hating everybody. Everybody wants to fight. Everybody wants to kill. But then all of a sudden, that door opens and you walk through it. Just imagine the freedom that you can experience if you would just reach out to God, take hold of your life. Some of you are not there. I know it. But you can get there today. All you have to do is let it all go. You tell the Lord to give you the wisdom, give you the knowledge. You tell the Lord to open that door. And let me recognize, because it says whatever you pray and believe and ask, it can be yours. So you tell the Lord, here's my alarm. We're going to tell the Lord that's my alarm. So if you ask for wisdom and guidance, the Lord's going to show you. Knock and the door will be open. I have opened doors for you that nobody can shut. God can promote you to a place that nobody can tear down. God can put you at a spot that nobody, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how much they try to bite, can't tear you down. And when you have that confidence, that's when you know you're walking with God. I'm going to end on this right here. I'm going to make this one quick. I was getting ready yesterday. And I heard, the TV was just up loud. I guess Stallone had it blaring, son. The Florida football game was on, and whoever they was playing, who was it? South Carolina. And I was putting my socks on, and I heard the announcer say that Florida quarterback had just scored, and the stadium was going crazy, going wild, I mean loud. And the announcer said, man, imagine what he must feel. The crowd is going crazy. They're on top now, blah, blah, blah. And then the other announcer said, unlike earlier in the game when the crowd booed him out of the stadium. So I thought to myself, I said, self, you mean to tell me that crowd, their home team, they booed this quarterback out of the stadium when he didn't do something right, but when he scored a touchdown that they liked, they went crazy over him. Man, that's kind of like life, isn't it? I want y'all to think about this for a second. I don't want y'all to be a Christian that when you need something, you love God. Boy, you're seeking God, boy. When you're hurt, when you're confused, when you need to know something, when somebody's hurt you, or when a bill's due, boy, you love God. You come to church, boy. You're at the altar, man. You pray constantly. And I know my Lord. Praise God. But when everything is going good, you act like you don't know God. Kind of walk like this, right? I walk like this. Y'all know what I'm saying? Walk around like this because everything's going good for you. You don't need nobody. Like Mr. Jefferson on the Jeffersons. Y'all remember that walk right there? Woo! On the flip side, some of you need to cut some people loose that only like you when you can do something for them. If you want to live a Christian-filled life and a power-filled life, you need to cut these fruit loops that like you when you can do something for you, but when you can't do nothing for them, oh man, it goes crazy on you then. Let me tell you a scripture on that. Everybody knows it. Revelation 3, 15 through 16, Brantley. What's the word say?
I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot.
Oh, wait a minute. 14 and 15. I'm sorry, I made the mistake. Can we go to 14? 14 and 15. No, that's right. Oh, I'm looking. I'm getting you confused. So because, I got you, Brantley. So because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Have you ever been in the shower, and the hot water was kind of running out? And how frustrating you get when you're trying to turn it, and you feel a little warm, you're like, ah, but it's cold, warm, cold. Yeah, you'd rather it just be freezing, Scott, or you'd rather just have hot water instead of getting your hopes up for a little bit of hot water, and then you get cold, and you're like, man, forget this. It's so frustrating. That's what the Lord's telling us, to not be lukewarm in our Christian walk. Don't be a sometimer. Don't be somebody that loves me when you need something, or when I answer a prayer, don't love me for a little bit, because this walk with Christ is from the time that you dedicate yourself until you lay your head down in the grave. It is a walk. It's a marathon. It's not no sprint. It's not something that you're going to do for a week, a day, 6 months, and you say, I've run my course. But it is from the time that you dedicate yourself to God until you lay your head down in a coffin. And he says, if you are lukewarm through this walk, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Everybody in here has got lukewarm friends. But don't you be a lukewarm Christian or a lukewarm friend. You need to be around people that's going to love you no matter what. You set your standard, and if they don't like you, it's not your problem. Are y'all listening to me this morning? If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Don't be a Christian. Don't say you're a Christian and act like the world. Or don't act like a Christian and act like the world. Because the Bible says we are to be act separated. We are to separate ourselves from the world. We are in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. Because now people are looking in and they can't tell. Amen? I'm talking to us this morning. As far as I know, I'm not on no broadcast going into somebody else's screen at a church and they're hearing this sermon and you're waiting on them to say amen, or you're saying, oh, that's a good message for them right there, man. This is for you. By God, you. So that's how I'm going to end it this morning. Some of you are looking for that door. Some of you are sometime Christians. I'm not calling you out specifically. I don't know your life. It's time to make a change today. Because I know some of you are looking for my next step in life. What is it? Lord, I've been stagnant in my life for a long time. I'm just walking down this road. I go to work every day and I come home. I go to work every day and I come home and I go do something. Then I go to church on Sunday. Then I go to church maybe on Wednesday. And then I go to work and then I do the same thing over and over. And I just feel like I feel like there's something missing. What's my next step? But just like that bird, the Lord wants you to recognize the door and fly out to freedom. He don't want you to be a lukewarm Christian. And everything might be going good for you right now. Your life might have it going on, as they say. You might have it all taken care of. You might have a little money in your pocket. You might have good stuff. You might have the best job. And it seems like everything is just going so good for you right now. But you are to live for God Monday to Monday, day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour. And you don't be a sometimer. God's going to open some doors for somebody in here this morning, if you will let it. If you will let God do it, some doors and some answers will open if you will just let God. I use this analogy. It's probably so, everybody's probably, that knows what I'm doing, is so sick of it. And I do it everywhere I go, but just pretend this thing right here was 1,000 pounds and I'm sitting there holding it. And then I run around and tell you, oh my gosh, this thing's so heavy. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Brother Benny, what can I do with this thing? It's so heavy. What do I need to do? What do I need to do?
Put it down.
Let it go. Some of you are holding on to situations you don't need. You have no business messing with. Some of you are holding on to some people that you have no reason to let them in your life. Some of you are holding on to some things that you don't need. Let it go. Let them go. Some of you are holding on to some addictions that you just can't let go. And the Lord just wants you to let it go. Bring it to Him. Put it at the altar. Let it go. He wants us to walk in freedom. Do you not think he delights in you being bound down by something? Just imagine being God and seeing everybody hurting and crying and bound up by addictions and all the fighting and all the stuff that's going on. It would be like you standing atop of a roof and you're watching a group of people slapping each other and killing each other and doing each other wrong, and you're sitting there watching this happen. All you got to do is let it go this morning. Bring it to the foot of the cross. Whatever you ask in prayer, God is going to loosen from you this morning. He said it. It's His word. There used to be a commercial that said, I think it was concrete, set it and forget it. That's the phrase. That's all He's wanting you to do. Set it and forget it. And He's gonna order your steps. Now, as I do this altar call, here's the question. You don't have to raise your hand. Do you believe the Word of God this morning? Do you really believe it? Do you have faith in the Word? It is impossible to please God without faith. Okay? So do you believe this morning that you can come lay it at the foot of the cross and walk away from it and the Lord to take care of it? He said He would. If you would just ask, set it and forget it. So as I do this altar call here, man, I'm just going to say this. I'm not one to beg nobody to come to no altar. Because a lot of things I understand. Some are embarrassed. Some don't want to be talked about after church and say, well, they must have been going through a lot. It's time we get over that, okay? I remember sitting in church as a kid, and I'd be so convicted. And there were so many times as a teenager, I said, I know I got to go up there. And I let it go, and I regret it. Because once you get to the point where it stops, it's just another altar call, we're in trouble. Then the defense mechanism is, it's been tore down. So, when I tell Todd, Brother Todd, to play this song, I'm asking for whoever I'm talking to. I guarantee you I could walk up to five people right now and knows that they need it. I guarantee you there's five in here. I know it is. I see it in my head. I know five people. And there's probably more, but I know there's five people. And I wouldn't dare call you out. But I'm saying, the Lord's dealing with you. It's time to make a change. So it don't matter what you're going through today. That way we can cover it with everybody watching. If somebody comes up here today, they're everything. That way we don't point out nothing. Do y'all understand that? People's soul and lives are on the line here. We don't have time to play eternal games. So don't be embarrassed, please. If that's talking to you this morning, when we play the song, I want you to just come on up here and tell God what's on your heart. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what you've been seeking. Tell Him what your problem is. Tell Him your addiction. Tell Him whatever it is that's hindering you before it's too late. This is life. This is not a game. And life is moving just like that. Brother Todd, if everybody would stand on their feet.